time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Welcome to the Pain Clinic for March 26. Holidays today. Nice to see you, Danger. Holidays today. Live long and prosper day. Can you do this? Live long and prosper day. There we go. And then you... No. That's a... Sorry. A live long and prosper day. It's also make up your own holiday day and National Spinach Day. Birthdays today. Oh, wait a second. There isn't any. Oh, wait. No, there is birthdays today. Sylvian Grenier is 45. And is that how you say it? I don't know how you say it. Grenier. I don't know. You might remember him as part of they were like a Canadian tag team, Quebec, kind of like a New Quebecers type of thing. Remember that, Danger?
La Resistance.
La Resistance. That's right. He's 45 today. And Mike Mondo. He was Mikey in the Spirit Squad, is 39 today. And Danger Boy celebrating a birthday today. I won't give away the date, but man, happy birthday, Danger Boy, unless you want to, you know?
I don't care.
Oh, Danger Boy is 40 today. It's a big deal, you know? We started this show when this kid was in high school, you know?
I was 16.
Oh, my goodness. So Danger is celebrating 40 today. You got big plans, Danger?
Some, I think. I'm not really 100% sure.
Excellent. Well, Danger, we will rib you all time for, I mean, 40 is not a big deal. You know, I mean, I'm older than that. So, but obviously I was 15 when you were born. Hey, well, I want to let you know the Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, Donuts Delight, Empire, Culver. Hey, interested in roller derby, you want to be a skater, officiate, Rock City Roller Derby needs you. Contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com and join Rock City Roller Derby. Welcome to the show. And if you're in the men's team, it's Flower City Fear, F-L-O-U-R, flowercityfear.com. Let me introduce the cast and crew of the show. I've already talked to Danger Boy. You know him already. He's been here for a long time. Danger from, he is from Gates, New York. We got the artiste from Parts Unknown Rochester. Right now, he looks like a floating head on the screen. Oh, we're not picking up his volume, though. Uh-oh.
Yeah. No, we are not.
Yeah, but it does look like a floating head. It's pretty wild, you know?
it might work now.
There you go.
There you go.
Yeah. The Windows 11 update overnight.
Oh, yeah. Should I be aware of that? Because, I mean, I keep getting the messages, so.
I thought I had declined it, but apparently not. So, good morning. Happy birthday. And, yeah, I don't know. It's a navy wall and a black shirt, but it's definitely something going on here, so.
All right. I'm your humble host, the Cash Man, too. And we got a lot of stuff to talk about. I don't know how long we're going to go today because today, you know, I mean, it's going to be a WWE, maybe centric day. I'm not going to say centric because there's AEW stuff going on, too. But we've got, you know, 1 week from today is WrestleMania day one, as well as NXT. What they call it again?
Stand and Deliver.
NXT Stand and Deliver is a week from today as well. And then a week from tomorrow is WrestleMania Day 2. Got a tentative schedule, pretty tentative schedule. Looks pretty solid, actually. But also next weekend, you see all the shows I put down there? We have ROH doing their, ROH has got their big return show. That's right. Super Card of Honor 15, which we got the lineup for that. And then we have Impact's Multiverse of Matches. Which that's what we talked a couple times. We talked about in the last couple weeks about how they're doing a bunch of crossover promotions matches. So,
I just saw it's Nick Aldis's return to Impact.
Oh, really? Yeah. Well, really? Because I saw that Cardona's the champ now in NWA.
Cardona and Chelsea Green taking on the Aldis family.
Aldis and Mickey James and yeah. and the baby.
No, I don't know if the baby's going
to
fight.
The baby after a very very weird dusty finish to the NWA Night 2 of the Crockett Cup on Sunday night, involving all of them, where Jeff Jarrett basically thought that Mickey James had low blowed him. So they did the dusty finish where Aldis had won the title, but then, or you thought so, but then they announced that Cardona kept it due to a DQ. You know, it was really Chelsea Green who had the low blow. I get what they were trying for, and I get it's an NWA thing and dusty finish and everything, but I don't think it didn't go perfectly. So, but at least they've been setting up that feud to then now bring that to the Impact ring.
Multiverse of Madness, something like that.
Multiverse of matches or something. Yeah, I don't know.
Multiverse of and we got Jeff Jarrett.
When they first planned it, it may have sounded a lot better with a movie that was supposed to come out yesterday that they then pushed back until May.
Ah, that's right. Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. That's why I keep saying it, I'm guessing. I will say that Jeff Jarrett will be the special guest referee in that match as well. This weekend. This weekend's a weekend to relax and, you know, and just
relax. That's what I'm doing.
But honestly, wrestling wise, there's nothing going on this weekend. Next weekend, there's a show every time you blink your eye. You know, there's good stuff. There's a lot of good stuff out there. We'll talk about it. You know, we're going to promote the stuff that's going to happen. April 1st is Friday, so that's when the Ring of Honor show is on Friday. We will definitely promote that, talk about it a little bit because it's the big return. We've got a whole slew of matches now laid out. We've had, you know, slowly but surely they've been adding into them, but some things we got the Mania buildup going on right now. You know, it's like everything's pretty much set in stone. What's going on in Mania? Nothing surprising happening on, you know, SmackDown or Raw this past week, but, I guess I will start talking maybe about the news that came out about Triple H yesterday. You want to talk about that? Because I think it was pretty interesting. Triple H did an interview with Stephen A. Smith yesterday and kind of got an idea what kind of heart issue he had and how serious it was. And it was serious enough that he said he'll never wrestle again. So we don't get the retirement match for Triple H. You know, I mean.
Well, unfortunately, this is the multiple times this has come up recently. It's not even just serious enough where he's not going to wrestle again. He's got a defibrillator implanted into his chest, and he didn't know it when he went down for procedures if he was coming back alive.
Yeah, they said they were talking about there's a thing called an infraction that your air versus your going through your heart at the same time, you know, and it was down to a point where they said pack his bags because he was probably going to be spending some time in the hospital. It was that bad of damage. And, you know, it is a shame that, but it said it was genetic. It was a genetic fault that he had in his heart. But I mean, look, he was built, you know. I would guess yes. I mean, to a certain extent. But I mean, you know, when you put that much stress on your heart to look the way he did, it wore it down. And he had a pneumonia where he had he had fluid in his lungs, and that's when he went into the hospital and had the surgery. And it's sad that, you know, he doesn't get a chance to say goodbye. I don't have a problem with it because I always felt the last few years anyways that Triple H would show up, you know, within like a week or two of WrestleMania and something would be made. But now we have to look back at his career and, you know, and evaluate his whole career, which, he's a Hall of Famer in the WWE without a doubt. You know, I mean, but
that bar has been very much lowered with Charmel going in. So,
that's a tough one, Charmel. You know, I mean, if they put Johnny Knoxville in someday, and Adante is saying not to be a jerk, but doesn't steroid use affect the heart similarly? And it does. It weakens the heart. It weakens muscles. It weakens tendons. I'm not saying it had anything to do with that, but, you know, and Triple H, you know, the funny thing is he was part of the clique. He was always the straight one in the clique. You hear all the stories about how he would be, you know, helping the drunk ones back to their hotel rooms and stuff. And he never drank and he never did drugs. And, you know, so, I mean, I can't imagine. I think maybe he was a natural bodybuilder. I mean, he always was kind of a big guy, even when he was Jean-Paul Levesque or whatever he was over in WCW. What was his name there?
Yeah, that was him.
Yeah, Jean-Paul Levesque, which is his real name, I believe. So
the Blue Blood.
Yeah, the Blue Blood. He was him and Steven Regal at the time were together. So, but it's sad because I'll read some quotes from it because I thought it was a pretty big deal. It said, said he had a bout with pneumonia and his lungs were inflamed. He said it got increasingly worse. His wife spotted blood in what he was coughing up. He said he had fluid in his lungs around his heart. He said he was at roughly at 30% ejection fraction with his heart and added that 60 to 65 would be a normal level. Levesque said he was told to back a bag and head to the emergency room. He was said the ejection fraction dropped to 22 and later down to 12. He said that he was nosediving. Levesque got emotional while talking about his three daughters. He said he didn't know if they'd understand the consequences of it. He said he wondered. Unfortunately, we lose in the long run because of all the health problems he had because of what happened with NXT. Because he was the guy in NXT, you know. Good morning, Robert. Thank you for joining us. And George, thank you. Yeah, it is pretty sad. Where do you feel his place in history is, Rob? Yeah, you know, I mean, he was there in the Attitude Era. I mean, him, DX and everything, that really was the peak of the business, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people in really the last 20 years or so, like, everybody went to, oh, well, he married the boss's daughter and that got him to where he was and stuff. But honestly, like, yeah, that's maybe helped keep him on top or whatever, but he goes down as one of the best ever in the history of the business in ring and out of ring. I was a huge Triple H fan from DX into the McMahon Helmsley era and all of that. And I just think, like, he was a really solid pro wrestler. It sucks that we won't get to see one more match because I think he's somebody who, yeah, I would be annoying sometimes when he and the part-timers would come back at WrestleMania time, but he could still put on a fairly decent match compared to his old matches at this point, up until recently. And I mean, I just think back, like, there's so many matches that stick out for me, that I was a big fan. And, I mean, it sucks. And obviously, like, there's so much talk these days about, you know, Daniel Bryan came back, Edge came back, Christian, whatever. Like, this is not going to be one of those situations. Like, he is done. And I don't know. I mean, it's tough. You see him always as this tough guy, whatever. And then you see that interview and there's a person there. And so it sucks. I mean, luckily he's still with us, but yeah, I just think it's a big time career. When you think about everything he's contributed and theoretically can still contribute to this business behind the scenes and everything, I mean, it is a legendary thing for sure.
Yeah, and you know, he did mention at the end of the interview, he did mention that his career is done because he has a built-in defibrillator in his chest now. And that's pretty serious. You know, our friend Ivan the Impaler, who passed away a couple of years ago, had one as well. And he used to scare me a lot when he would show it to me. He'd pull it, you'd see it below his skin. He used to show it to me. And it was like, that was kind of scary to see that because it's like, yeah, and you're not taking chest chops with a defibrillator underneath your built into you. So I think, you know, as much as I've been critical of the guy, you like remember WrestleMania, in the one where he came out on the three-wheeled motorcycle and Stephanie McMahon was like dressed like as an S&M woman, and that started the whole Ronda Rousey thing, I think, eventually. But you know, I used to be critical of him just showing up at the end, and, you know, and you know, but he was there. I mean, this is the guy you remember wrestling with a torn quad, you know, in the middle of a match. And he gutted it out to finish the match. He did not stop or anything. This is the guy who, you know, got punished for the curtain call, the infamous curtain call, and was supposed to win the King of the Ring that year. That went to Stone Cold Steve Austin, which started, you know, the whole 316 and everything. But it was originally supposed to be Triple H, but because of the curtain call, if you don't know what the curtain call is, do a search on YouTube, or, you know, it was when It was when Razor and Diesel were leaving WWE, and their last match was an MSG in a cage, and they all kind of hugged each other after the match was over, and Triple H, and they couldn't punish Shawn Michaels because Shawn Michaels was too high on the food chain in the WWE, so Triple H had to wait another year, and he eventually got everything he wanted. He eventually got everything that he deserved. But he had a long career in the WWE, and I mean, yeah, he'd still be wrestling if it wasn't for this. I'm sure. I think they had plans for him at a match at this WrestleMania, and it's to our disadvantage that he's not there just because of that. And NXT, his babies kind of got pulled apart since he was not overseeing it. I'm curious to see what he looks like. I mean, obviously, he's not going to be able to be like the same guy we remember. Being buff and muscular and everything, because I'm sure he's got, restrictions on that and everything, but I really hope he does continue with the company doing stuff. I mean, he definitely has a creative mind, and he was very unselfish with his work in NXT. I mean, everyone has moments of selfishness when they're in charge. But he with NXT, he knew that these were, he needed to build the next line because there wasn't really a good feeder pipe for the WWE. The way he wanted to do it was, I thought, perfect. He brought in some of the best independent wrestlers on the planet. Unfortunately, most of them are gone now or over at AEW.
I think when you look at, there are so many comments and valid ones about, how he would win these matches and he would, lose a title, win it right back and all this stuff. And I get it. I mean, there was frustration with a lot of that with all of us. But I think when you really look back, especially after he was no longer like the top guy there, he put so many people over. Especially if you look at his WrestleMania record. I mean, Cena, Batista, Orton, the list goes on and on of the people that he really, like, once he got to that point, he was the one who was trying to get these people to the next level. And obviously, there could be selfish reasons in there too or whatever. I'm not going to say that, there wasn't any of that going on. But I think that in terms of trying to transition to like the next era or the next group of guys or whatever, like he was a big deal in all of that as well. Those weren't my favorite times. The PG version of DX was not my favorite time. But, when you look back to like that heat before Fully Loaded in Buffalo in 99, where he like had that really angry interview with Jim Ross and it brought him to the next level and stuff. Like, I mean, it was a big deal back then for that company to like WWF was already at the point where it was taking back over in terms of the Monday Night Wars and stuff. But then he was the guy, in my opinion, that until WCW was purchased, like he was their top star that basically finished that war for them. And obviously he had so much to do with it when, DX was invading WCW and all that stuff too. But I just hope that like fans can appreciate like everything he did contribute. It wasn't perfect. There's certainly things that people will always hate on and valid reasons and stuff. But when you look back at it, there's a lot of classic matches, a lot of classic moments, funny moments. And when you look on Twitter, last night, any wrestler that people do like these days was pretty much thanking him. That like if they were in NXT at some point or WWE, whether it's Adam Cole, Johnny Gargano, I mean, the list goes on and on. Regal, all of these people were tweeting very, very positive things about him last night and how much he's contributed to their careers, which honestly, probably a lot of that we don't know about. So the mark that he's made on the business is one of the biggest ones that anybody has ever contributed to pro wrestling. He's going to have that legacy.
True, true. And I was going to say, you see a lot of these black and white pictures from backstage at NXT with him and Ciampa, him and Gargano, and him congratulating people when they won titles because he always felt it doesn't matter where the title was won, what the title was won, it was a big deal. And I mean, he lived and loved the wrestling business, and I'm sure he'll still when he's feeling better, things will be he'll be back to normal with on the road and everything. It is a tough life, being on the road all the time. And who knows? He was the heir apparent to Vince McMahon when Vince McMahon finally decides to step aside, or I mean, I honestly don't know if Vince McMahon will ever step aside. I think, you know, I hate to say it, but someday he'll just be found passed away or something in a hotel room just from old age, you know, because he doesn't seem like the guy. If you know, he has all those millions of dollars and he doesn't get to really enjoy him because he's on the road all the time. But Triple H was the heir apparent, you know, when he, you know, he married Stephanie and gave Vince McMahon 3 grandchildren and you know, it was you know, so, and now I don't know if he's still in that spot now. I, you know, he may be, but right now he's going through some difficult health problems. So let's, you know, we'll keep him in our prayers and thoughts and everything. But man, it's a, you know, he and yeah, I mean, I'll admit it. There's been times I've disliked him a lot because I think, you know, because I felt that he would put himself above people, and you know, especially when some up-and-comer was going, and it's before he was ever in charge, he would, you know, he'd get a win over somebody, you know, in a big match, and I always would be like, well, you know, he obviously used his political pull, but, yeah, it may not be the case all the time. I mean, he's more in charge in the last few years than he was when he was, you know, a full-time wrestler, so. But, you know, he's still a young man, too, so it's like, you know, we'll hope he bounces back pretty quick. Danger, any more thoughts? No? Danger.
Oh. Did he freeze on you?
Yeah, he did.
Oh, he did. Yeah. Oh, there you are.
I don't know exactly what was being said there since it froze, but very valid to have those feelings about what, you know, the some of the wins that he got and the runs that he had. That's absolutely true. I mean, are we ever really going to know, like, how much of that was him pulling his own power? How much of that was maybe Vince favoring his son-in-law? Maybe it had nothing to do with all of that. Maybe it was just because he was a top guy, whatever. It's probably a mix of all of those things. So we've all had frustration. I had frustration in that too, even though he was one of my favorite wrestlers and I had a bunch of Triple H shirts back in like middle school and stuff. But you know, I think when you look at it now, like, it's, you know, it's 2022 now, and we look at everything he's contributed and how many people, I think it's huge. You know, when I you mentioned all of these like indie stars and stuff, how big he was in that transition, where unfortunately that's not so much the case anymore. Some of those guys are still there, but we finally got to a point where WWE was actually hiring indie wrestlers, top guys and stuff. And when you look back through the, I mean, Cesaro and Seth Rollins and Brody Lee and Bryan Danielson, and the list goes on and on and on, like John Moxley, Dean Ambrose, whatever, like all these guys, he had a big deal. Like he had a big hand in all of that, in letting those guys bring their talents to the biggest stage in the world too. Yeah,
it's a good look on that one, because I mean, let's be honest, all these guys who were the indie stars who showed up, and they might not be there anymore. They may have only gone to NXT, but they can say they were employed by the WWE, and that was a dream for 99% of them. Yep. So he was able to give them that. So that's, you know, it didn't work out the way he had wanted to down with NXT, and that has nothing really to do with NXT and more to do with what happens after they would leave there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they get called up or whatever, or move to another show, and they would have to reinvent them, like Butch or, you know, some of the mistakes that, you know, I mean, I think now what they're trying to do is things like Austin Theory now, where he was Austin Theory in NXT, and they brought up pretty much the same character into the WWE to SmackDown, or, you know, where he is. And now he's, you know, but they you know, they had felt they needed to change people's change the, you know, their persona, that they got over big time, you know. And some guys never got the call, you know. Gargano never got the call. I mean, Ciampa, yes, he showed up a few weeks ago on Raw. I mean, Ciampa doesn't, you know, I mean, some of these guys always said, I'd rather be in NXT anyways, because, you know, Triple H was like, you know, a good boss to them and allowed them to do what they did best, which was wrestle. So, you know, and that, you know, we're not there anymore though, you know, at NXT. But man, well, you know, who knows, maybe he'll come back and they'll, like, they'll give him the reins again. I don't know. I hope so, because I think it really, the quality of that show has really gone down since he's not in charge anymore. But he, yeah, and he is, you know, without a doubt, first ballot Hall of Famer. He's without a doubt, you know, and that's, you know, I remember hearing the stories. Remember when he started signing people for NXT, and you would hear stories of him showing up at some of the indies in like New York City and in Connecticut and stuff, that he would be in the crowd all of a sudden. And it's like, you know, that's, I mean, how many of those guys did they get from, what was that New Jersey group that Gabe Sapolsky ran? That most of those guys all got called up that were working for him.
Evolve.
Because most of those guys, I mean, if they weren't called up there, all the rest of them are in AEW now, you know? So, he would show up there and, those guys, you know, and he was a cool dude too. He would like hang out backstage and, you know, like show that he's a real person and not to never do tweak anybody out by thinking they're, you know, an audition or anything. That's where Theory came from. That's where like, that's where Keith Lee came from.
Random question. Side note. What is a first ballot Hall of Famer in the WWE? They don't have to wait a certain number of years to be on the ballot.
That's true. It's not like a baseball or anything where you got to wait five years. Yeah. Well, I mean, he might be one of those quick ones too, because of, you know, maybe it's, I don't know, you know,
it's a good, he'll be a headliner. It might be next year, but
yeah. Isn't he already in with
DX? Yeah.
With just DX, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he'll go in on his own.
Yeah.
I mean, I agree. Like the Hall of Fame doesn't mean anything anymore. It's never going to mean anything again because of the people that they've put in and will put in. So there's no, I mean, he would be in like the real Hall of Fame.
The wrestling one. Yeah. The wrestling.
This one's just a joke at this point.
The one out in Iowa. Yeah, I would agree. And I think that's true. And it's like, cause you look who's going in this year. And
I completely agree with their Warrior Award winner though.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yes, I mean, there's an argument to make that maybe you should just rename the award after him, as opposed to the Warrior. But
piece of garbage human being.
So we might as well talk about that. Chad Gaspard will receive the Warrior Award. They were really pushing last year for him, but it was really too fresh, I think. But Chad Gaspard, you might remember saving his son's life in Venice Beach when they were out swimming and. Both him and his son got caught in a riptide, and he told them to save his son before him, and he ended up drowning out there at the age of 39. Chad, you know, Chad, I mean, we have, I got to meet him briefly, you know, and it was at the Dinosaur, too. Remember that? He was a nice guy, yes. Though. He was a good guy, though, when we were there. He was a good dude. He was also an incredible artist, too. He was, like, into graphic novels. He made his own graphic novels and created his own superheroes and stuff. And he was a talented artist. So he had other avenues to work when he left the WWE. And unfortunately he passed away saving his son. And it's like, yeah, I think without a doubt, Chad should receive the Warrior Award. Yeah. And I know the Warrior, they got to change that name. Maybe Chad Gaspard Award would be much better anyways, because they can turn a blind eye to all the terrible things a Warrior said, but I can't. So I'm sorry, because I sat and listened to him say it in my face. So,
And I think that like whenever they didn't make that award until right after Warrior had passed, right? So I don't think they're going to change it at this point. Like obviously they had the fabulous Moolah Battle Royal or whatever, which they quickly changed after. There was, you know, an uproar about that, but I have a feeling Vince isn't going to change the Warrior Award. So whatever. But I mean, yeah, it's definitely well-deserved for Chad to get that.
He would have been a Me Too victim if he had lived and, you know, and, was still, you know, posting like he had been posting and everything. So he would have, or whatever.
Well, he would have been canceled. Yeah. He certainly would have been a victim, but yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No,
he would have been spouting how he is a victim on Fox News right afterwards, but.
Like Val Venus.
Oh my God.
Yeah. No, don't want to touch that.
Maybe he'll show up at Control Your Narrative.
Control Your Narrative and come out and talk.
I don't even know why I just mentioned them. Shouldn't even mention them.
Because you are in control.
Yeah.
You are in control.
But you're not.
So when Austin Aries is on, it means you can turn the channel. You
know? No baseball slides. No dives.
Oh, man. We're kind of
Canadian destroyers.
We're getting kind of deep in there, folks. So, you can nix everything. So what else do we want to talk about? Let's talk about Cody Rhodes' debut. We kind of talked about it a little bit last week, and there was a little bit of news about it. Obviously, now we know what's going to happen at Mania because it hasn't happened yet. Maybe there's going to be a big tease about it this week sometime. I don't know. But I think that one thing that they posted about it was And I'll read the news. And it said, people in WWE are reportedly pushing for Cody Rhodes to be presented as he was in AEW. A new report that the two very high-profile people in WWE have been adamant to WWE chairman and CEO Vince McMahon that when Rhodes does arrive, he should be exactly what he was in AEW. Presentation, ring gear, theme music, pyro, everything else. The visual impact of the American Nightmare crossing the line is significant. That's what the report noted. Rhodes.
I want Stardust.
You think you're going to bring him back as Stardust?
No, I don't think they will, but I want Stardust.
Did you watch Rampage last night and see how that started with them with Dustin Rhodes carrying Dan, what's his face, to the ring, beating him up and stuff? And then it was a very bizarre start to the show. But nevertheless, I want to talk about Cody. So we haven't seen Dustin Rhodes actually on AEW for a few weeks since Cody left, I think. And they had him come out this week and take on the Murder Hawk there, which was actually a really pretty good match, you know, for trying to squeeze in four matches in an hour. I thought it was pretty good last night.
And they definitely set up that that's going to be a continuing feud. I mean, with
Lambert, like
Dustin didn't bleed until after the match, or at least from his forehead. And I like Dustin and I like Lance, but I mean, those style of matches aren't always my favorite, but I thought it was a really good match between those two last night.
So Dante says, Cody's coming back as the American Nightmare. VKM wants American Nightmare specifically to prove a point. Well, I mean, that's what we're saying, is that he wants the, you know, that's what people remember him most. And if they're competition, they're going to remember him as the Nightmare. I don't think he's going to get like a special intro, you know, with a thing coming up in the middle or anything like we see, but
I mean, like he'll keep his logo because it's tattooed on his neck.
Yeah.
And he can use his theme music, which he absolutely should, because people will recognize it with the pop if he comes out as a surprise, whenever he comes out. The gold, red, white, and blue jacket, please don't bring that. Please burn that. Or hang it up in your basement collage of wrestling. I don't know why a jacket upsets me so much. That thing is just so ugly. I don't want to see it again.
It looks like a matador kind of with it. You know, it's the way it sits on him and stuff. You know, it's bizarre. But, you know, well, I mean, I guess we'll find out a week from today. You know, I mean, I'm guessing, you know, the set, I didn't look at the lineup that close, but I don't know when they have the quote unquote supposed Seth Rollins match on the WrestleMania. If it's not, it'd probably be day two.
I'm guessing day two for that.
That's what I'm guessing, day two. So we'll get that, but then we'll get Cody. But yeah, I can't, you know, because we didn't get that tease 2 weeks ago, I think, you know, it seems wise that they hold off till Mania. Which, you know, is coming.
I think they could tease it more on Monday, but at this point, if you didn't have him come out when he first could have, and you didn't have him come out in Jacksonville and stuff, like just do it at Mania at this point.
Yeah, I would agree.
I think honestly, like if you want people to tune into it at this point, the people that care about Cody showing up, which honestly is not everybody, but I mean, that's one of the main things I'm interested in for next weekend. I think it's more intriguing to make, as long as you deliver, it's more intriguing for you to watch and wait and see if he shows up and have it be a surprise. Again, kind of not like when the Hardy showed up, where there was, you know, the thought that it could happen. But if you have him come out on Monday this week to set up, like at that point, like are those the people that, a lot of people just want to see him show up and see what that's like. Yeah. Once he's there, I don't know how many people care about like the stuff after that. And honestly, like I'm a little bit in that boat too. I care much more about his first appearance than a specific match or whatever. So I would hold him off till Mania at this point. Where else I think a lot of people that if you see him on Monday, they'd be like, all right, I saw him. I don't need to watch him on Mania.
Yeah, that's why they're going to hold him off. And he's going to be on Sunday if it happens, which it will. It's been rumored for 2 weeks he's been signed. He's been on the road with them, I think. You know, he was in Jacksonville. I know that for sure. So they probably just, you know, pawned it out of what they were going to do. He'll show
up. There was a slight rumor, and who knows if this is true or not, but there was a rumor that he was going to come out in Jacksonville, but then that was the night that everybody found out that Scott Hall had passed away, and they just didn't want to do it on that same night and everything, which I don't know if I, I'm of the mindset that he was not supposed to come out that night, but I mean, I do see, I guess, a little bit of that argument of like, let's just hold off. Because, I mean, I think they should have done more for Scott Hall too, but that's a different point.
So. Oh, I agree. And I mean, we're going to get some Scott Hall tributes this week coming up, I'm sure, you know, maybe if you're down there, because it's Russell centric, but I mean, they've got the Hall of Fame is actually happening after SmackDown next Friday night. So Friday night, they're going to do a show, the last show before WrestleMania, and then they're going to do the Hall of Fame after it. So they've got a captive crowd in there already to, you know, to do the whole Hall of, maybe they're going to like clear out the floor and bring out tables and have everyone come out in suit coats and everything. I don't know, but it's not like a separate event like it's been the last few years. But the one thing we know about next Friday also is that they're going to have the 8th Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royale on SmackDown, which they did last year too.
WrestleMania
Battle Royale SmackDown. And interesting, they announced 17 of the participants last night, and some of them are in other matches too. So it's like Finn Balor, you know, is going to, he's wrestling Damian Priest on the show, but he's also part of the Andre the Giant Memorial.
Is that match definitely happening at Mania though?
I don't know. I've
seen some people saying that it might not, because once they saw him in the graphic, and like, if you're not putting that match on Mania, but you're giving spots to Johnny Knoxville and whoever the hell the Logan Paul guy and all
that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I think it's still on there. I mean, but I know that they're also like moving one of the tag matches to Raw this week. That's supposed to be on Mania. I think it might be the 3-way tag match. I'm not sure. I thought I saw it still in the list down there, but
no, I think it's just Alpha Academy taking on the Street Profits this week, I believe.
Oh, okay. So some of these names, yeah, you know, I mean, we're going Apollo Crews, Commander Aziz, Eric Ivar, Damian Priest, Shelton Benjamin, Cedric Alexander, Akira Tozawa, Drew Gulak, Reggie, Jinder Mahal, Shanky, R-Truth, Mansoor, Madcap Moss, Robert Roode, WWE United States Champion Finn Balor. How about Muhammad, what's his name? Ali. Is he going to be in? No. He has to be.
Listen, why haven't we talked about the biggest news of the week yet?
What was that? Danger Boy's birthday?
Oh, no. After 6 months, Veer is finally coming.
Oh, Veer is coming. Yes. Veer. I mean, it's a date after WrestleMania, too.
All that buildup.
It's funny.
Just going to explode all over the scene.
It's funny. If you're on Twitter, Lance Dorm is always like, is Veer coming this week? He's like always posting. He's been doing it for like weeks now. There's some funny stuff going on with it. But this Veer guy is like, you know, another Commander Aziz, another one of these giant guys. So it's
he's a name outside of wrestling though. If you ever saw the movie, I think it's Million Dollar Arm or whatever it is, the Indian baseball players.
Yeah.
It's about him. He was one of the baseball players.
Interesting. I remember that because I remember hearing stories that Vince did sign one of those guys too. So he was one of the, that's very interesting. So, well, we're finally going to get to see him after WrestleMania. Maybe he'll show up in the Battle Royale, you know, it wouldn't surprise me. But we got, you know, I don't know. Got a lot of people in this list. You know, there's 17. I don't know how many people in the Battle Royale. Is it 20 most of the time?
Everyone
who doesn't have a match. Yeah. Because the previous winners, if you're curious, first year it was Cesaro, no longer with the company. Second year it was Big Show, no longer with the company. Happy Baron Corbin in 2016 won it. Mojo Rawley 2017, no longer with the company. Matt Hardy 2018, no longer with the company. Braun Strowman 2019, no longer with the company, and SmackDown Tag Team Champion Jey Uso in 2021. So two of the 8 members who have won it are still with WWE. You know, I don't know. It doesn't mean anything. I guess if they're all gone, I would say it means that you're going to get cut sometime in the next year, but that not being the case with Jey Uso winning it last year as well, you know, and Happy Baron Corbin being like the second winner, third winner of it. So we will see, you know. I don't suspect we'll see any debuts at WrestleMania. I haven't heard any rumors of people showing up or anything or coming back. So I could be wrong though. But that's Friday night. They're going to do the Battle Royal, Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal Friday night. And then after that, they're doing the Hall of Fame induction ceremony. And that, I think, is that going to be on the WWE Network? Did they promote it being on the WWE Network? I'm assuming it is. Because obviously, when you're on Fox, you're going to switch off at 10 o'clock. But that's usually when they were running their live 205 or whatever they changed it to show was right after that, too. But we'll see what happens. It's gonna be a busy WrestleMania weekend, that weekend. So let's see if other news things we want to talk about. Let's see.
If you don't have enough like space on 2 days of WrestleMania and pre-shows to put that match, like what are you doing? Like I just don't. To me, it's like, oh, here's like another WrestleMania match, but it's Friday. Like you're not actually putting these guys on WrestleMania. It doesn't count as a WrestleMania match. I don't know. Like the whole argument of like, oh, we're going to have this match just to give a spot to all the people who don't have a spot. Like you can't put that on the pre-show like you did before.
What it looks like is they don't want to do like 6 hour nights either.
They're doing 2 hour pre-shows for
I know.
3 to 4 hours of matches.
You need to put NXT on the afternoon of WrestleMania too. Like,
yeah, no, that
like they're the ones. You mentioned like there's Ring of Honor and Impact, and there's so many other shows coming up this week. I mean, almost every wrestling company that you could name, every indie and stuff is running starting Wednesday or Thursday and going through the weekend. So I'm preparing to watch a lot of wrestling next weekend, but some of this stuff is not making the cut. I can tell you SmackDown's part of it that won't make the cut. Friday night, especially, there's so much going on between the Ring of Honor show, especially more than anything. But there's so much else.
Oh yeah.
That I mean, it's gonna be fun. If you look at whether it's Fight TV or IWTV or whatever, like all these places, there's a lot that's gonna be worth checking out. And I mean, more than anything, I'm curious about the Ring of Honor one, with the AEW tie-ins and stuff.
Oh yeah, and Impact looks like a very interesting show too. You know, I mean, having the cross promotional matches and stuff, I kind of like that. I like that. You know, it was a neat idea.
Well, it's gonna be interesting too, because there's, as of right now, the Briscoes are supposed to work both of those shows, Ring of Honor and the Impact Multiverse, whatever.
Yep. Yeah.
There's talk of Deonna doing both and stuff, but they're not at the same venue at all.
No.
So I'm curious. I have to look and see what the venues are to see how far apart they are. I might research that now, but
maybe
That's quite the double shot when they're both like, it's not like an afternoon show and a night show or whatever. Like they're both nighttime shows at 7 and 10 or something. But
I know Impact has taped before on shows too. Like, you know, I know they've taped shows and replayed them at the time they say they're going to replay them. So that may be it too.
Both of those are live pay-per-view or whatever you want to call them, though. I mean, those are
Fight TV stuff. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, the Ring of Honor is the live pay-per-view from that arena in Garland that AEW keeps running.
Yep.
And then I just got to see where the Impact one is, but
let's see.
I think that's over at WrestleCon, which is one of the conventions running this week.
Yeah, that's in Fairmont Hotel in Dallas, Texas. So yeah, you're right, and that's live. It's live on Fight TV. So wow. We've got head-to-head live shows going on at the same time that both of us, we all want to watch. And they're doing the Impact Provincial Wrestling Federation after that, which is...
Somebody's internet's not great today.
No,
someone needs to upgrade to Greenlight.
Stop
ASAP.
It. I'm plugged in, so it's not me. But nevertheless...
It is you. You keep freezing.
Able to talk the whole time. You're the one that keeps freezing.
Huh, I wonder if I did something. Okay, so I'm sitting on the cable, but...
Judging by your provider, I don't think it's you.
Okay. But I will say that, they're doing the,
that's a terrible look to freeze on too.
Yeah. Good freeze frame.
The Impact Provincial Wrestling Federation is going to take place after the pay-per-view, which is the throwback night where they're going to have a lot of guys doing their old characters from, you know, which is going to be pretty much fun stuff, you know, funny stuff. They're going to do old I've seen them, they've done it a couple times, and they go back and do old gimmicks from the 70s, you know, old bits and stuff. So that will be, oh yeah, look at, some people are saying Johnny Gargano's first post NXT appearance is going to be at WrestleCon. So
signing. Yeah, he's doing.
But I will say we did want to mention the WrestleMania kickoff show will air Saturday at April 2nd on USA Network at 6 p.m. Eastern time. So it's going to be live for 2 hours on USA April 2nd. And I heard they were going to replay the Battle Royale on it, but I'm not sure. I erased that news because after the announcement that it was going to be on SmackDown, the Andre the Giant Battle Royale, I erased that news. But I did hear that and it may be a replay of the match. I don't know. I've got enough to do already there. So
it's going to be a rough night on Saturday night too, because like I said, that's the Final Four.
Oh yeah.
They're up against some tough competition.
Yep. I know WrestleMania will be on the TV, but I'll be looking at the Final Four on my laptop instead. So about 25, maybe more miles from the Curtis Caldwell Center to the Fairmont Hotel in Dallas. So Dallas traffic on a Friday night, who knows? That could be at least a half an hour. But
so you know, one of them's going to be to start the show and what they'll be at the end on the other show, probably.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
But I mean, it is cool just to see like these companies kind of working together and stuff. Obviously Ring of Honor and AEW are going to work together because of Tony. He's going to work together with himself. But I mean, with the Impact tie-ins and like all this stuff, like it, that's one of my favorite things about this week this year is honestly all the non-WWE stuff and how it's not like everybody else. Like I don't love the whole piggybacking off, you know, concept necessarily, but it's nice to see kind of like how many opportunities so many indie wrestlers get this week and stuff, how many options there are. It is weird that there's shows that run at the same time as WrestleMania, but a lot worth checking out this week for sure.
Definitely. And I think we've done enough of our WrestleMania plugs. I'm going to go through some news pieces now. Someone did bring something up in the chat room here that I saw that I wanted to mention. Let's see, I don't know what Swinger's Dungeon means, but there's some interesting. Yeah. So Johnny Gargano appearing is going to be a big deal. And, they want to talk about Pat McAfee and Austin Theory. I don't know if you saw last night, Pat McAfee like blew a nut and ran to Vince McMahon's door, but could not get in. And it's funny you brought up almost an Aziz. They did that on Monday, and they could have saved that for WrestleMania too, and had a 2-on-1.
That tells me they've given up on Aziz at this point because that was a waste.
Yeah, almost is actually way more flexible than you think when you watch that match, because he did some stuff. I mean, he actually did some wrestling moves.
The rumored match for him at Mania, if the certain person gets cleared. I don't know how they do that match, and I don't know how they do it without having that person who's getting cleared win. Because the rumor is Bobby Lashley.
I heard Bobby Lashley. They're expecting him back.
Yeah. So if he gets cleared to wrestle, how do you not have him? You have to have him beat almost, but it's a waste if you do that. I don't get that match at all.
There's a lot of things I don't get. They're just kind of thrown together. Yeah, there's some great lineups. I mean, I really want to see AJ Styles and Edge. I'm not really thrilled with the build up to that one, but I think we're gonna like pull it apart more next week when we come back next week on the show, and look at some of these lineups a little bit more. But I do want to hit some of the lineups that people are gonna see Friday as we get closer. But I'm gonna do some news. Let's go through some news pieces, and then I'll go to the April 1st Ring of Honor show and talk about that a little bit. But in AEW this past week, they announced it last night, I guess. We got a match with Bunny, who is going to be on Dynamite against a not someone on the roster. Another Tony Khan plug. So who's the mystery opponent for Bunny? Are we going to see Mickey James show up in AEW now? That would be surprising, but who could come back?
I got to believe that it's either Athena. What was her name?
Ember Moon. Oh, Ember Moon. Yeah, there's been some.
Either her or Tony Storm.
Yeah, I saw Ember Moon had some back and forth with people from AEW.
I know, judging by what Tony Storm made last weekend, she might not have to ever wrestle again.
She having an official, what is it called, an OF?
Yeah, she might be Orange Cassidy's new reason to have his hands in the pockets.
Who is it that said that? Dan Lambert?
Lambert. Yeah. That promo between him and what Sammy came back with after he kissed the title.
Yeah.
That was, I know a lot of people don't like it and think it's gross. That was money to me. That was hilarious.
Yeah, especially when he had his mouth up against it and they said they were laughing. It was like, oh no. Well, by the way, I meant to ask you, Rob, what do you think about him wearing the title? I think maybe if it disappeared, it would have been okay. But now Lambert comes out with it on every week.
It's one of those things that, like, I hate it, and I'm supposed to hate it. So
you are.
I guess they're doing the right thing with that. I mean, I didn't like Sammy holding both of them, but I wasn't necessarily supposed to hate that. This is working, but
have we ever gotten a reason why we need an interim champion to miss because Cody missed 1 week?
Because he got COVID for a week.
For 1 week, we need an interim champion.
They wanted to make another belt. I don't know. You know, that's a good question.
Unless, yeah, they didn't know what the deal was with Cody one way or another, if he'd actually be coming back. And
but by the way, I do want to throw this out there. If you don't follow Paige Van Zandt on Instagram, you should follow Paige Van Zandt on Instagram. Paige is very active on Instagram and very open about a lot of things. She'll do open question and answers, and some of the things she says is just mind-blowing. But she is a good girl, but she's also gorgeous too. So I'm just going to throw that out there. But I was watching some stuff she was doing last night, and it's like, whoa, there's some sick people who like ask her some sick stuff. So, and she's a very good Christian girl. So
yeah, I'm sure she is.
Yeah. but she is also
with her OnlyFans.
She's very easy on the eyes. Okay. I'm just saying that. Okay. You know, but she always has been, even when she was in MMA, that's why she got hired in MMA. She couldn't win fights, but she looked gorgeous going out there. So it's Dana White. He signs people with his heart sometimes, you know? So, but yeah, I've been following her. So also on Dynamite this week, we get El Idolo versus Darby Allin. And I did get it right. So you don't have to mark that off on the tic-tac-toe board or the bingo sheet. FTR versus the Gun Club, you know, yeah, they were giving each other grief this past week. And the Bunny versus the Mystery opponent, Owen Hart Memorial Cup qualifier. And I'm glad that they started promoting that because that's kind of going to be a big deal after WrestleMania. And I think it does
bad for the Bunny because you know that she's not going to be in the tournament now. But
yeah, well, you know, but she's the name that we know right now. So, you know, that's one big thing. She gets to be the first one in the ring waiting to see who it is. But, you know, I think doesn't the Owen Hart Memorial end up like being in Saskatchewan, the final match or something? That I think.
Yeah.
Sorry, I know my internet's.
I predict what Rich is saying.
Sorry, my internet's kind of acting goofy. I don't know why it's doing that. That's really weird. Thank you, people who I get it through. Yeah, no, I said I think that the final match in that Owen Hart Cup is like. It's like close to where the Hearts are from, Saskatchewan, I think. Not absolutely sure, but I do have a question. Is Danhausen always going to be just somebody who shows up and curses people, or will he ever wrestle?
He will wrestle here and there, I'm sure, but I think it's going to be like the early days of Orange Cassidy where it's not going to be – it doesn't need to be a weekly thing at all. I think – you put him in the ring once in a while, once he's fully recovered from his broken leg and stuff, which obviously he's moving around and stuff now. But I guess I'm curious to see what actually ends up happening with that whole best friends group. I mean, they've obviously been teasing the stuff with Yuta and Trent, and they haven't really been doing much with Chuck Taylor. I'm assuming his contract's up kind of soon. Statlander may be away from the group now. Obviously, they were like, oh, she looks so different. No, she's not. Like, it's just like a different design of the face paint.
Yeah.
And like, maybe dark. Yeah. Like, it's not really a big. They were just talking like it was like the biggest transformation ever. I was like, she looks pretty much the same. But I don't know if that whole group is going to dissolve or what's going to happen there, but I don't I mean, it's fine for Danhausen to be there right now. He doesn't need to permanently be there. It was funny, but it also kind of killed his little shtick last night when Hook just walked past the curse.
Yeah.
But that is what it is. So.
And Yuta's on the Ring of Honor show too. I saw.
What?
As everything freezes again, Yuta is on the Ring of Honor show. He's going to be wrestling on that. So let me do some news before I freeze up again. I'm about to get up and run into my room to make sure the cable's plugged in nice and solidly. But Wednesday's edition of Dynamite drew over 1 million again. It was nice to see that. They pulled in 1 million viewers, which is great. Up 5.34% from St. Patrick's Day Slam episode. Kudos to them definitely for that. They're sitting around that number, and they, and according to WWE, they're competition, right? Cause they beat them head to head, which I find hilarious still in their MLW deposition. I'm the only one freezing. I'm sorry about that, guys. I thought I have a good connection and everything. I'll try not to freeze anymore. If I do, I apologize. Some more news. I don't know if you saw this past week, but it happened again. It happened again. Well, at least
the timing.
Oh my!
Immediately.
Okay.
At least it's got a better screenshot this time.
Okay,
yeah, that's not a bad one.
So WWE.
Better than some of the screen caps. Oh, there he is. Hello.
Hey, you're back.
Yeah. Sorry about that. So WWE Hall of Famer J.J. Dillon and legendary Kevin Sullivan appeared on ABC's Judge Steve Harvey this past week. I don't know if you saw any shots of that.
I saw the pictures of it.
Yeah. Apparently, Dillon was suing Sullivan for not paying back a $7,500 loan. Bizarre, but, it's nice to see that. I know Kevin Sullivan's going to be wrestling around or coming here around to do a show here. Did I see that on the commercial on TV?
You did.
Nickel City Wrestling.
That's all we need to talk about that.
Okay, well, Kevin Sullivan's going to be there.
So did you see the outcome of the verdict on that?
I did not.
Steve Harvey ended up having the quote-unquote court pay for the – he found for J.J. Dillon, but ended up having the court pay for it for the 40-plus years of friendship and entertainment they brought everybody.
Okay. It's an entertainment show we're watching, apparently. Okay. So that was a piece of news. Here's another piece of news, and I don't know. This is kind of a lame one, but Mike Tyson and Ric Flair are teaming up. The legendary boxers Tyson 2.0 Cannabis Company has acquired a majority stake of the Nature Boys trademark and intellectual property so that the cannabis and edibles can be launched under the Ric Flair brand at some point in the near future.
Currently, he's selling those edibles as little ears. I wish I was making that up.
You need a ring shot. I heard that too. It's actually believable. Flair's been since commented on the team up saying, thanks to Mike Tyson and Tyson 2.0, I become a true cannabis advocate and enthusiast. That's what Flair said.
The paycheck will do that for Rick.
Yeah, Rick gets divorced, and all of a sudden he's out in a boat with the women again, and he's out partying, and
he's just taking pictures of it. I'm sure it never stopped.
True. So let's hope I don't freeze up here anymore. We got because I'm going to go through some of the cards. Is there any news that I missed that is pretty important that we're going through? Could talk more about the Mania setup, but I think we'll just talk about Mania next week more than anything else, just because it'll be probably be in the middle of it at that point. I the Ring of Honor Super Card of Honor, which is going to take place Friday night from the Curtis Colwell Center in Garland, Texas. It's going to air live on Fight TV and Honor Club. And the current card is winner take all match to determine the undisputed Ring of Honor World Champion Gresham versus Bandido. We have Ring of Honor World Tag Team Champions FTR versus the Briscoes, which is I think it's an FTR fantasy match, one of the ones that they have always wanted. And now that your boss owns that company, I guess it can happen. We have a ROH pure title match, Wheeler Yuta. That's where Wheeler Yuta's coming in against Josh Woods. I thought I saw Josh Woods also defending it someplace else like this weekend too. Jay Lethal versus Lee Moriarty, Swerve Strickland versus Alex Zane. Joe Hendry is on the card. Nick Ninja Max on the card. I'm sure we'll get some other names, but first Ring of Honor card back. Is this going to put him back on the map?
Well, we'll see. I mean, it's also apparently Delirious's last card working with him for the time being. So,
yeah.
He's been booking that company for 10 years.
The head trainer, too. Rob, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, the card itself is, there's still a lot to fill in. I don't know. I'm hoping that, I think Delirious should just be signed to a new deal and help run that. I mean, he's been such a big part of that and knows everybody for them to potentially book and can be a liaison for things and stuff. Like I said, I mean, that's probably the main show this coming week that I'm looking forward to watching. I think there's a lot more work to do in terms of trying to bring in some recognizable ROH names to that show. So we'll see what it all ends up being. We'll see if, I mean, do they get Deonna on there to defend the ROH women's title, even though she's under the Impact contract and on the Impact show. But I think that's, you know, we're all wondering what's really going to happen with Ring of Honor after Friday. But I think, you know, Tony's not going to be somebody who's just going to, you know, just get by with the show. I think he's going to try to make it a big deal. And not a lot of time to put that together from all sorts of standpoints. And it obviously it's weird that he's going to be running against Rampage, but it should be a fun show.
Yeah, yeah. And that interesting that at the same time on Fight TV, they must have like two feeds or something, you know, that you can pick from. Impact Multiverse of Matches at WrestleCon's taking place April 1st, Friday at 9 p.m. from the Fairmont Hotel in Dallas. It is, it'll air live on Fight TV. Impact that will then present a midnight show featuring the throwback styling of the IPWF, Impact Provincial Wrestling Federation. But on the Impact Multiverse of Matches going on this Friday, Vincent versus Chris Ray versus Rich Swann versus Willie Mack versus Jordan Grace versus Trey Miguel for the Ultimate, in an Ultimate X match for the Ultimate X division title. We haven't really seen Ultimate X match in a while, so it's going to be exciting. And Jordan Grace is in it, so you know we get a little, you know, get to see, you know, a little, see a woman. Maybe she'll to walk off with the Ultimate X. I think there was another woman who had the Ultimate X at one time, or you know, walk around with the X that is hanging from the ceiling. I'm trying to remember who it was. Someone had it.
Didn't Tasha Steele win that match? Maybe
that's right. That's right. It was Tasha Steele. Yeah. So and yeah. So we got Champ Challenge, which is Deonna Purrazzo defending her Ring of Honor World title and her AAA Reina de Reinas title. And we don't know who against who. Right now it's up in the air who she'll be taking on for the Impact Multiverse of Matches. Fatal 4-Way for the Impact Knockout World Tag Team title. Sarah Evans and Knockout World Champion Tasha Steele versus Rosemary and Havoc versus Giselle Shaw, Lady Frost versus Madison Rayne and Tennille Dashwood. Excuse me. The Bullet Club versus Impact. Jay White's taking on Chris Sabin. We've got New Japan Pro Wrestling versus Pro Wrestling Noah. Tomohiro Ishii versus Eddie Edwards. Tomohiro Ishii, sorry. Ring of Honor versus Impact match. We have Ring of Honor World Tag Team Champions, the Briscoes versus the Good Brothers. NWA versus Impact. Mickey James and Nick Aldis versus Chelsea Green and Impact Digital Media Champion Matt Cardona. Who, Matt, now, am I wrong? Is Matt Cardona the NWA champion too right now?
Yes, he is.
Yeah, he is.
Okay, so Impact World
Champion. He's got a lot of belts.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's a belt collector. That's what we were calling him, was a belt collector. So yeah. Impact World Champion Moose and PCO versus Josh Alexander and Jonah. And Alex Shelley versus Mike Bailey. So sounds like a solid card of wrestling. Man, yeah, I was saying, can they do pay-per-views from two different places at the same time on Fight TV? Because I think
being inquisitive right now,
I think they're
you can see it on his face.
Yeah, I think they're. But can you
just
stream?
Don't know what he's asking.
Can you stream two pay per views at the same time? No. Am I still frozen?
What happened to the Inspiration, the Iconics? Like, are they?
I haven't
been seeing Impact every week, but obviously they're not on this show.
Yeah, I just saw a promo for them like 2 weeks ago, so I don't know why they're not on the show. I was just asking, is it possible to stream two pay-per-views on one place, like Impact on Fight TV?
Well, those are different times, right?
Well, yeah, this one's at 9, Impact, 9 p.m. Eastern.
10 Eastern, maybe, or?
It might be 10 Eastern, 9 Central. No, yeah, it would be 9 Central.
And then ROH would be 70. Let me try to figure this out.
I was going to say, they both probably will cross over at some point, I think. And like I said, I will save the WrestleMania card rundown for next week. Is there anything else we need to talk about?
Your internet connection.
Yeah, I know. This is the first time I've had problems with it. And it's like, it's, you know, am I going to have to get green light now too?
You should anyways.
I know because it, instead of having 100 megabytes download, you get 500 megabytes download. You know, I'm sorry, we're doing an ad for them.
So Ring of Honor starts, Supercard of Honor starts at 8 p.m. Eastern. There's a pre-show on YouTube an hour before that at 7 Eastern. What is the actual Impact start to them? I want to say it was 10, but I could be wrong.
George says he hopes Nick Aldis kicks Matt Cardona's butt for attacking Mickie James, which, yeah, Mickie James was wrestling Chelsea Green, and then Matt Cardona came out and freaking took out Mickie James. So that was pretty insane.
Yeah, Impact. So Impact Multiverse of Matches is 10 p.m. Eastern on Fight. And then the throwback show is after that. But yeah, so, oh, that's going to be a lot of wrestling that night. But is Ring of Honor going to, if Ring of Honor's main show starts at 8 o'clock Eastern, that's not going to be done before Impact starts at 10 o'clock Eastern. So yeah, there's got to be a little bit of crossover there.
So everyone's going to be watching one of them on replay at some time. Did you guys see the news about Mike Tyson, guy pulling a gun on Mike Tyson? This past week.
Nope.
Okay, so some guy challenged Mike Tyson to a fight, then pulled a gun on him, and Tyson didn't flinch. It was on TMZ. And I saw that Tyson didn't do anything and eventually ended up hugging the guy and hugging it out. But it's like, it was kind of,
still haven't heard about it.
Yeah,
no.
Oh, you didn't hear what I just said? Okay, I was going to say, yeah, it must be when you guys freeze, I'm freezing. So, when you guys freeze, I'm freezing. So that's how it's going. So we'll straighten this out for next week. But
we're only freezing for you, I think. So
yeah,
I was gonna say
it might be time to call it.
Yeah, it might be time to call it. So we're gonna get out of here early.
It's the lost show. Woo!
No. Those are the ones that I lose the recordings to. So this will still be up as a podcast, of course. You can find it on
screenshot.
You can find it on thepainclinic.net. And don't forget to, if you see Danger Boy out today, buy him a drink. He's 40 today.
I'm not going to need any more drinks.
I mean, is today the day that you become Danger Man? Or are we still waiting on that?
I think that would have been years ago. I don't think it's going to happen at this point.
Okay. Well, congratulations on staying youthful then.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going with that.
All right, we'll see you guys next week. Thank you so much for listening, and don't forget to buy Slam Someone You Love. Look for all our old shows, thepainclinic.net. Follow us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, be our friend, do all this stuff. We're on Instagram as well, and we will see you guys. And that was late yesterday that Mike Tyson thing happened. We'll see you guys next week, same bat time, same bat channel.